This is Stacey Marshall with Printwear Magazine.
Matt Vassallo with TheRhinestoneWorld.com.
Richard Greaves with ScreenMaking.com.
Brian Walker with RTP Apparel.
You are listening to the Two Regular Guys
Podcast.
It's hosted by
Terry Combs.
And
Aaron Montgomery.
Keep on listening.
I don't know if these guys are that regular.
It's Friday, November 22nd, 2019. I am Aaron Montgomery, and you can find me over at aaronmontgomery.info. And we are kind of a little out of sorts because we're efforting to get Dan on here. We've had a hard time getting him in for whatever reason. So hopefully he will be along here shortly. Dot Tone Dan Campbell is slated to be joining us, Eric, to talk about screen printing film and separation. But welcome into the show, Eric. Tell us a little, who the heck are you? What are you doing here?
Yeah, I am Eric Campbell. You can find me at ericcampbell.com. You might know me from embroidery, but what? I'm sitting in today screen for printing? Mr. Terry Combs. No, which is why I'm a little panicked that Dan isn't here yet, because I've prepped some screen printing art, but never done color separations like Dan has. So Dan, if you're out there, click the broadcast link, my man. We're ready for you anytime.
Yeah, for sure. He'll be on. We've got a couple of things to cover anyway, so
absolutely
it'll be all good here. But we've got some folks already checking in. Actually, Marshall said can't make it today, super bum. So Marshall, catch the replay, hashtag replay, right? That's how that works.
Yeah, all the time. Catch those replays, guys, right after we're done. It's up. It's worthwhile.
Nice. And Todd Downing checking in this morning. Todd, good morning.
Good morning, Todd.
And again, I love making sure we get the mention in here, the creator of the Reggies, the inventor of the word regulators. Thank you. Christine Shreve checking in this morning. So, yes, Christine says you're having a screen printing show without Terry.
Yeah,
we kind of asked that same question.
Terry couldn't make it when he asked me to sub in. I said yes, but there was a moment where I'm like, I don't know if this is the show. Now, admittedly, if Dan doesn't show up, we may not be talking screen printing today.
We may not be talking screen printing.
But we'll see. I mean, like I said, happy to see everybody here. Up, Cindy, also. Cindy, who we got to meet down at Fort Worth. Glad to see you in, even if this is a little loose this morning. We're always happy to see you guys in.
And Randy checking in. Aloha, Randy. Thank you for joining us from probably fairly early there this morning, if you're where I believe that you're at. So,
Well, here's hoping we deliver, sir.
Yep, that's right. Let's see here. Todd says, the only thing I know about screen seps is when they fall out of the window when I'm closing the storms. Yes, Todd, you've checked into the right store.
Maybe the wrong kind of screen. If we were on the right Facebook group, you would be assassinated for that. But at the same time, no, I'm with you. Like I said, I've done some simple print stuff, simple spot color, but not seps. So not my strongest, guys.
Yeah. We I know a little bit about color separation, but very little. So we'll be okay. Dan will be along shortly, I'm sure. Eric, let's start us off with some news, though. What came across your desk there that you thought was worthy of a mention here?
Well, checking out the news from printwearmagazine.com. Transfer Express is holding a free webinar on December 12th at 2 p.m. Eastern time, focused on trade shows. And I know we talk a lot about trade shows, but the thing is that you really have to kind of have a plan to get the most out of them. Transfer Express's session is going to explain how decorators can prepare and get the most out of these events. They're pointing out that trade show gives a decorator a unique opportunity to see all the products needed to run a t-shirt business in one place, get the education improved, and network with peers and experts, exactly the stuff we are always telling you. But in this hour log session, they're going to talk about capitalizing opportunities and help people understand the breakdowns of like hotel costs, entrance fees, and other items. So just like the other Transfer Express webinars and like this podcast, they have archived versions of the seminar available after the live broadcast. So that's December 12th at 2 p.m. from the folks at Transfer Express.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's also, I'm going to head over to the page here at tworegularguys.com, and because we've got Reggie voting going on right now, Eric. So
we most certainly have Reggie voting going on.
Yeah. So tell us, give us your take on the Reggies here, Eric.
Well, what I'm going to say is it is hot and heavy. I don't think I've seen this many votes coming out. Communities are definitely coming out to support their favorites. We always see that there's some interest in the Reggies, and this is one of our most popular things we do every year. But this year, boy, people jumped on it early, hundreds of votes within the first day. I mean, more than I think we've ever seen. So what I had to say. Great to see everybody interested in supporting everyone. I'm amazed at the response, folks. Just quite a lot of folks coming in, and it's just fairly amazing.
Nice. Yeah, definitely. So it's, like I said, hot and heavy. And but here's the thing to remember, folks, everybody, just, you know, it is for fun, and it is, you know, it's great to recognize people. But as the decorators community is all about, it's about abundance. It's about, you know, coming together, working together, all those kinds of fun things. So I'll just give you a quick rundown here of the you know what? Let's skip that, Eric. Yeah, you can just head over to
rundown the categories.
Yeah, we'll skip that. So just head over to tworegularguys.com/Reggies, and I will copy a link into the comments right now, and we will just go check that out over there. And okay. And
thank you for spamming the link, my friend. So yeah, get out there, get your votes in, get logged in. It is awesome. I see Todd's checking in on this. He's playing the long game, like the turtle. Yeah, tortoise in the hare, man. Get in those votes during that last minute. Yeah, we got a lot of people jumped out early, but they're gonna be efforting later.
Yeah, that's
right. Before we fully dive in, I'd like to go ahead and thank you all for being here and checking out the Two Regular Guys podcast. If you're listening to the podcast version, we would appreciate it if you'd share with your friends so they can become regulators too. Plus, we would love to and appreciate you giving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to the show. We're always looking for new guests as well. So if you or anyone you know would like to join us, go to calendly.com/Two Regular Guys, and we'll have that link up later with your show idea. So yeah, absolutely jump in. Grab a segment, especially if you see something that's in the industry you can share that you haven't seen us do. We would love to have you on. And if you're watching with us live right now, join in with comments and questions. As you can see, both Aaron and I are terrible comment watchers. Our eyes are always drifting off to the bar to see what's going on. And we will help you join in and have you reach the industry too. So reach out to your industry friends, have them join in, and let's all enjoy the fun.
Okay.
And now let's hear a word from our new sponsor, Impressions Expo, coming up soon.
What is Impressions Expo? Impressions Expo, formerly ISS, is the premier trade show dedicated to the imprinted and decorated apparel industry. 5 shows are produced annually in each region of the U.S., including Long Beach, California, Atlantic City, New Jersey, Orlando, Florida, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Fort Worth, Texas. Each of the 5 annual shows also features over 30 seminars and hands-on workshops in categories such as screen printing, embroidery, digitizing, digital decorating, and much more. Visit ImpressionsExpo.com for more details and see us at the shows in 2020. Exclusively for Two Regular Guys listeners, the Regulators. Use the promo code Regular Guys, IE. Again, that is Regular Guys, IE, for a free expo pass.
All right. Well, thank you very much to Impressions Expo for their support of the show. And been really great working with them, and we're excited about what's to come. You know, I mean, everybody's kind of like, what's Impressions Expo? You know, I've had a couple of those kinds of questions, and mm-hmm. you know, I don't think you're going to see, like, you know, wholesale changes as far as, like, it's still going to be the same great ISS show. You know, people were worried because everybody loved ISS, like, is this going to change? No, it's still going to be the same great ISS show. They're just rebranding and kind of renaming it. So
great new stuff coming up. I mean, they've reorganized some things, and definitely they have everything set up where education is as important as it has been. It's been really cool. So I honestly can't wait to be there. I know I'm teaching there. A lot of the people you know and you've seen on this podcast are there giving seminars. Should be a really interesting group of people up there on you know, both in front of people at the seminars and just out on the display. So
yeah, definitely
great to see what's coming up in Long Beach.
Yep, definitely, for sure. All right, well, we talked about the Reggies. How about we dive in? We've got our guest here. We're just going to come in straight and hot, Eric. So yeah, yes. If you wouldn't mind just introducing Dan while I get to get him in the show here.
Absolutely. Dot Tone Dan Campbell has dabbled in just about every area of screen printing with an emphasis on art and color separations over the span of 30 years. He's run his own manual shop and worked for many well-known names. Dan has partnered with Pierre from Blue Moon to take 5 different show awards, and Dan is 1/3 owner of thetshirtboard.com. He is currently the creative director for IDP, a contract printer, as well as serving local customers in Huntsville, Alabama by day, and Dan does freelance color steps by night. Welcome to the show, Dan.
That's me. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, great to have you, Dan. Thank you so much for joining us here, and thanks for all of the great stuff you sent. We're going to try to get it up on screen, and we'll get to that in a second. But Eric, why don't you start us off? Let's get this rolling here and get the information out of Dan.
All right, we'll start with something slightly frivolous, which is probably good for people like us. But hey, man, you've been part of the industry for a long time. I know I've seen your name around like forever, even though I'm not a big screen print guy. When and how did you become Dot Tone Dan? Which, by the way, best name, best moniker ever, man.
I guess it came along when one of my coworkers at Russell Athletics, they all kind of doubted me when I first came on board as to what can be done. And so I kind of proved myself, and somebody said, hey, let's give it the Dot Tone. And it's like, that kind of stuck. I liked it. Yeah, so I use it everywhere.
It's nice. Good alliteration. Good brand new. Can't argue with that.
Yeah. All right. Well, so Dan, we want to just dive right into talking about color separations. For people that don't know you, we'll find out very soon that there's not too many people that know much more about color separations than you do. So let's just, the question off the top here, are auto separations worth buying? Do they help?
Yeah, they help. They help every shop, even the big, let's call them pro shops out there.
Okay.
They have them. They're using them. They might not use them as much as a smaller shop that's just getting started might use them. They use them on probably for training to get new artists to get familiar with how colors blend, color sequence, and things like that. And definitely, they are a good tool. They do speed up the process for a lot of shops. And it's definitely great for a beginner to purchase an auto separation program because you can get yourself in the game with every other shop out there that's doing simulated process. And will it be perfect every time? No, but at least you're in the game. You can hone your skills on fine-tuning the separations that you get out of there. And they, it is what it is. It's an automated exact repeat every time it opens up any different job. So it treats every job the same way. So, you may have one file with teals in it that doesn't separate out well because there's you have to mix a teal with multiple colors. And so there's a lot of different variables that you have to learn how to tweak once you get it going. But there's people out there that have won awards with their print results, using automated separation programs. So definitely worth getting.
Yeah, definitely. Great.
I mean, I'm kind of surprised. I mean, admittedly, for coming from the embroidery side of things, like automation is almost a dirty word. Everybody wants it, but it never works.
Yeah.
So, but once again, I feel like that may be the touchstone here is that, good to start learning if you don't have it and maybe to start tweaking. But very interesting that's still, worthwhile in and of itself.
Yeah.
It used to be thought that, people who do separations for a living was anti- auto separation programs.
Yeah.
But we're not. Some of us use them ourselves. They base their business providing separation to the industry using automated separation programs. And at different levels, I always say there's a place for everything, a place for everybody. And, depending on your business, you may be totally fine. It may be or should be at a lower cost. With automated separations. And unless that person has extra skills where they can take that beyond. And so automation is good.
Yeah,
right on. So moving on from that. So when you're separating on your own, can you use Photoshop to separate and print spot color film, or do you need something else? Do you need an other tool or something else to add to it?
That question is, all over the place on Facebook. You'll get some people that will say, oh, you can't use Photoshop for spot colors. And, other people say, well, that's all I use. Yeah. So, you know, it depends on your skill set. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I'm an older guy and I've been at it from the very beginning. So I use Photoshop mostly on, let's say, 90% of my jobs. Oh, and I just did a one color solid spot job in Photoshop just moments ago, and at a rush job before I got on here.
But harkens right up to the end.
Yeah, it harkens back to the old days. These guys used to give me trouble because when I was just a guest, I would be digitizing while they're talking to me. When it was just a podcast, not video, I could get away with it. Yeah. But invariably, they'd ask me, are you digitizing right now? I think we can hear clicking, dude.
Yeah. All right. So tell us about how using spot color then with Photoshop, Dan. Give us a little bit more about that.
Well, I guess the biggest thing that I want to come across with today is that maybe it's a change in technology and the equipment that we use, but as we know, it's more of a digital world than yesterday. And I guess I came about it with working with Director Screen and the quality output, the resolution of output devices. I work with higher resolution files, 600 PPI. And the reason being is that I can get a much cleaner, more minute, more accurate choke with a 600 PPI file than I can with a 300. If I'm, let's say, and this is kind of an extreme example, but you take a customer supplied left chest print and they gave you a Photoshop image. Maybe it used to be a full size imprint and now they want it on a left chest or a pocket print. And in my last job, we did that a lot. And you have to, sometimes the type is a script font and, or, you know, times bold with the thin serifs and everything. Yeah. And you have to maybe underbase that, and you need to do so. 300 resolution is trying to use that with vector artwork or vector-ish artwork in a raster file is very difficult at 300 resolution. So you can do that easily at 600, choke more accurately, get a good underbase, allow for some shift or some registration mishaps. The vector files, the vector looks in Photoshop. I can do small type in Photoshop, raster artwork. And so the idea is that everybody thinks, you know, your solid type or something like that has to be out of Illustrator. But you know, somebody can run a shop with just Photoshop, literally.
Wow.
Okay. So it's really about resolution and quality. In definitely is details. I mean, I think that's why everybody really hawks on vectors, because they're saying, okay, it's scalable and I'm always going to be able to get that. But it doesn't mean you can't with raster. You just have to start with the quality you need.
That's right. That's the key word. Right. Start with.
Yeah. Yeah, start with garbage in, garbage out. That's an old computer term, guys.
Yeah, that 72 DPI internet file just isn't going to cut it.
Not for anybody. Right.
Nice.
So the interesting thing about that, you mentioned the low resolution, like JPEGs and stuff.
Yeah.
The interesting thing that I find that, I guess as a general rule, because everybody's afraid of it, they don't want JPEGs. And probably 40% of my separation business is working with JPEGs, PNGs and JPEGs. You know, I even from my own old customers that, you know, they come back and say, well, you know, we did this job so many years ago and all I have is a JPEG and of what you sent me. And so I have to re-separate it or something, because I only keep so many jobs for so many years.
Yeah.
And depending on how you get those JPEGs, if it's from Photoshop and you save it as a JPEG and not through web, that makes a huge difference. And the Photoshop files are can be high resolution, the JPEGs can be high resolution, high quality, high color, and work out just fine.
Well, I think that's the thing people don't, I don't think people understand that JPEG's just a file format. It's the amount of compression, the amount of color lossiness, which of course, when it's on the internet being used, especially back in the day, I mean, now you get more high res images being used on the internet. But back in the day, because internet speeds were so slow, everything was like 72 DPI, 30% quality, way lossy color, way spotty.
Right.
But that's not necessarily always the case.
Yeah. And, you know, back in the day, we used to be concerned about file size. And, you know, so that was why you see a lot of the smaller, it's just ingrained in us now or embedded. That's how we work, try to get things smaller so they move faster through the internet and through email and stuff like that. But yeah, everybody's uploading larger files now, which can be a bad thing because, you know, a lot of people pull things off the internet, knock them off, and especially with the availability of direct garment, it's, you know, you can nab something off the internet and end up getting in trouble. I've seen it, but it's just, you know, technology makes it so easy for us to work with and also so easy for us to steal from.
Good point. Very good point.
This is true.
All right. So Dan, what are the typical ways to set up a file in Illustrator and Photoshop for print? And you've, like I said, you've sent us some stuff. So, you know, you just tell me where we need to put some things up there. I think I've got everything available here. So,
yeah, well, between Photoshop and Illustrator, you'd set them up kind of like in two different ways. Well, you know, the work environment in between the two programs is kind of similar, but
yeah.
There are certain, my work environment in Photoshop actually is laid out a lot differently than what I work with in Illustrator.
Okay.
And, there are certain things that you can do in Illustrator that you already do in Photoshop, but you have to do manually in Illustrator. But, so you kind of have to deal with them separately. It's Photoshop and you want your best file is going to be, either getting from the customer or creating your artwork in RGB,
okay,
as high of a resolution that you can get, such as 300 or 600, like I work in, and layers. You definitely want layers, and the reason being is for two reasons: is you want to have layers that you can use as a tool for making separations. And even building your artwork, you can use those layers as masks and create good selections from. And the other is during the separation process, you may, depending on your process, but you may use a white background or a black background. You need to change those out. So layers works obviously for that. And then some of the hardest jobs to separate is a flattened, multicolor, airbrushy kind of design that gets it's flattened on a black background, and or a colored background is even worse, because that has other colors in the artwork. You have to pull those out. And those are the worst files. But layers, RGB,
all right,
300 to 600 resolution, and
okay. So what window? You're all good, man. So what are some of the, within that Photoshop work environment, are there Windows tools that are like must haves that you keep open all the time?
Yeah. Under the work environment, I save it as a workspace under the Windows menu bar, workspace, new workspace, and then you give it a name.
Okay.
I take that even if I go with on some of my files, if I travel and I go onto somebody else's computer, I'll load mine in and have my same workspace. But
that's a good tip.
So keep the following windows like tools, layers, channels, paths, actions, characters, so you can change type, things like that. in Illustrator, this is the big one, and it's like in Photoshop, I don't keep that many windows open, but you know, you only want to keep open the things that you use all the time for efficiency. But in Illustrator, for example, I have, and as you open these windows, you want to mount them or dock them, stack, you know, vertically off to the side, so you got plenty of room on your screen. Keep your window space open. But so in Illustrator, I have tools, attributes. That's an important one. Separation preview, very important. Okay. Swatches, strokes, color paths, colors, and then Pathfinder is another important one. Layers, character, alignment, libraries, transparencies, gradients, the Pantone solid coated or whatever Pantone book that you might be referring from. Okay. Keep those available. Links, artboards, and for swatches in that list, kind of like my mainstay or my default is I have in my libraries, I have a base white that I use typically, unless because it's colored, and there's a reason for that. People make fun of that sometimes, but you know, you change your base white, your white inks to a color so that you can see them while you're working with the file. Because when you use separation, maybe I'm jumping, but
go for it.
When you use separation preview, first off, separation preview has to be in CMYK color mode, so that it can use the functions that it does. But it doesn't work in RGB. But how it works is it multiplies the color. It's kind of like the multiply feature. And it multiplies the color. So, you know, you put a yellow over a blue and it creates a green appearance. And so that's how separation preview works as well, so that you can see your separations and how they're working. Are they choked properly or enough in certain areas? That's why I color my whites. My top white will be a different color, like a cyan looking color. And my base white will be a pink. And I'll do that so that I can see the traps and the chokes. And normally when you stack white over white, you don't choke those, but you do with the underbase on the color. So the separation preview, because it multiplies, you can't multiply white. If you're white, computer white, right? So yeah, there's nothing there. And the same with black. Black multiplied by black is black. So
essentially coloring that makes it visible where you've got those overlaps so that it multiplies and you can actually see a little bit more of how those different layers come together.
Yeah. Okay. And a funny thing about separation preview is that, I used to be a tech and go into so many shops and go into their art departments. And I'd say, you know, they'd ask me, is there any kind of a preview program that you recommend? And I've got Illustrator, right? Well, it has separation preview built in it. It's a pre-flight checkpoint. So you use separate, and it gets a little hairy when you first work with it because you don't know, unless you read up on it, which a lot of people don't. They just jump in and they start playing with things, right? So you don't know what it does, and it kind of gets a little scary. But it's very easy to use once you learn. Maybe it only takes a couple hours or a day, but to get used to it. But once you do, you build all your vector separations, and you got to run through separation preview to make sure everything's looking right.
Yeah, but, it kind of makes me think of the way we do preview for embroidery. Invariably, in embroidery previews, everything, there's the compensation is applied, but it's not taken out. So everything looks a little too thick, a little too off, holes are closed together. But it's something that after a while you train your eye, you're like, okay, that's the right amount of compensation. I know it. One of the first thing I teach everybody in the embroidery side of things is like, the screen is a lie, but that's okay. Like, the screen's lying to you. It doesn't have to look like that. Also, I'm like, what thread color is going to be there? The color you put on the machine. And I assume the same thing with the ink. Like, yeah, the white is cyan. Cool. I know that. I can see it on screen. I'm seeing what the function is, not what the color is. The color is going to be the color you mix, not the color that's sitting up on the screen. Screen's alive, but that's okay. It's a tool.
Yeah. Preview is misleading at times. I have customers that sent files back to me and said, this is all wrong. It looks horrible. And, you know, it's because I'm using pink in my base white and things like that.
Yeah. You're like, well, did you put pink in the screen, bud?
Yeah.
Then it'll be wrong.
You're right. A lot of people think too that they should build these files with the production file.
Yeah.
They should build that with the shirt color they're going to use in the background. And it's when you're building the production file, it's you need to see how things are going to print, and that color is just interfering with all that. So
totally.
That's a little misleading.
Nice.
But did I answer your
question? No, that was great.
No, you did. Answered and plus some more.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. We're getting bonus stuff.
That's why I use that's why I mentioned that is we were on the libraries, and that's some of my stuff that I use. Yeah. Registration black is another important one that people overlook in their separations. You know, they change every color for a registration mark and, you know, change all the names and stuff like that. And you can just type it out once, use registration black, and it gets applied to every separation. And in my libraries, I have a registration mark I plop down. I have several different thicknesses,
okay,
you know, depending on who likes what. But
yeah.
Well, for the people who don't know, I mean, you can let us know that registration black, what does it do that's special as a color?
It's you don't really want to use it in your artwork because it gets applied to every separation that you output. So if you want information about the job on the separation film or on the direct to screen device, then you can use that. And a lot of people will type that information manually. You can use the like Illustrator or some of your rips will do that as well. They'll put the job information, colors, and the sequence and all that. Mm-hmm. But some people like it larger, or maybe they want to place it manually where they want to have it. And so registration color, you don't want to use that in your artwork. That'll be a big mistake. Get it on your yellow and your blue somewhere where you don't want it.
The reason I egged you onto that is because one of the very few things I've done is mess around with very simple spot color separations. And I myself made this mistake one time. I thought black was black was black, and I used Reggie Black on everything. And because it was in the library when I got there, and let me tell you how happy my screen people were when I kicked out all this stuff. They were super pleased. Super pleased to have everything on every plate. So sorry, guys.
Nice, nice. All right. Well, let's take a quick break here, guys. We want to get a word from our sponsor, Printavo, and then we've got lots of more questions for you, Dan. So this is great. Let's keep this rolling. So, Eric, I will turn it over to you here.
All right. Let's talk organization. Keeping your shop organized is crucial to growing your screen printing business. Printavo helps thousands of shops keep their team on the same page and look professional to their customers. If you're always getting tapped on the shoulder with questions, missing order due dates, or just ready to get to the next step in your shop, Printavo is your solution. Printavo allows shops to create consistent quotes, automate quote and art approvals, schedule jobs, collect payment, and now create online stores, all inside one platform. Being cloud-based, you can even use Printavo from home and with remote employees too. Printavo has a free trial and demo, which you can sign up for at their website at printavo.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Eric. You your read is outstanding. I'm going to have to record that one. Terry,
I got a face for radio too.
Yeah. Terry kind of, we're not going to throw stones at Terry while he's not
Let's not throw Terry on the bus while he's not here to defend himself. He's working hard.
I do that all the time. All right. So, Eric, let's keep this going. Like I said, we're getting so much great. I mean, hopefully people have their notebooks out here and are taking down all these tips and notes. And
I'm not like Terry. I don't have my notebook out. I know.
And Dan's also given us a great amount of stuff that is going to show up on the website, too. So this is
We've got some great stuff for the show notes and also some sample files and stuff. Yep. So we will get to that, too.
But that for sure.
While we have you here, Dan, in what ways do you use both vector and raster art that can speed up the process?
define that so I give you exactly what I had written now. Yeah. I say a lot when I'm typing it out, and then I want to skip over everything.
Yeah, no.
I guess this is, in what ways do you use both vector and raster?
Yep. Okay. Yep.
Building the foundation of a file is going to be faster in Illustrator.
Okay.
You know, to get your shapes and your different elements and your type layout, it's all just done, works much faster in Illustrator or Vector. Maybe it's Corel that you're working in, and which I don't know much about. So
no Corel questions for Dan.
Yeah, I don't apologize. It's a great program, just as good as Illustrator. It's just I don't use it.
Yeah, sure.
It's not what I learned. And but I think building the foundation of the design or the file in Illustrator or Corel is much faster than raster, especially for editing type and doing type effects. The path tool in, you got a path tool in Photoshop, path tool in Illustrator. Illustrator's, you're going to do it in half the time.
Wow.
And it's just, it work. I don't know why it is, but it works faster in Vector. And basically, that's really the only reason I use Illustrator is to build the foundation. And then I'll go in and to take that into Photoshop. There's a few different ways you can export, or you can just copy and paste from Illustrator into Photoshop. And what I build in Illustrator, I'll often use, again, in layers. I rebuild things in layers quickly in mm-hmm. Photoshop, and I'll use those as a selection tool and okay. An airbrush over top on another layer or something. And that's another important part of building a file in Photoshop is that you want to have multiple layers so that you can use those as tools for your selections. And the best way that I've seen people build files in Photoshop now is in, they're in layers, but they're almost like separations. They are, you have all your white down at the bottom.
Okay.
And how you want to print it is, whether you're going from dark to light or light to dark. So you may have a dark blue or browns right at the bottom above the base white and so on and so on. And then as you stack it, that's the sequence in how you print it and build your separations. And I get a lot of artwork. It's like almost kind of pre-separated.
Okay.
And basically all I do is make selections and knock it onto the channels and create my spot channel separations, and off we go.
Nice.
But that's super fast.
Yeah. So Dan, what I guess as we're talking about vectors and rasters here, what makes you decide to choose to use a vector sep over a raster sep? I mean, what's that kind of tipping point for you?
Simplicity. Photoshop is more complex and there's different things you need to do in there. Illustrator, when files are just simple, when I use the word clean a lot, when files are clean or easy and there's not a lot of blending or difficult blends or elements intertwining with other elements and stuff like that, that's when Illustrator becomes more challenging. And or vector programs become more challenging. And I just had a horrible thought of when customers send in CMYK artwork, everything's painted in all the random colors they use from the default swatches that come in.
Oh, no.
And they've painted me with millions of colors, and you have to convert that from vector to, I just copy and paste, take that into Photoshop and separate that way. It's so much faster. But the simplicity of the Illustrator files is the only reason really I would, if you get artwork that's provided in vector, why take it into Photoshop? Just use what you,
Yeah.
I'm big on staying in the program that it originated from.
Okay.
And so if it came in as this vector, I'm not going to take it in Photoshop unless it's very complex. And so I guess that kind of answers that.
Yeah. So it's more like, you know, high color complexity, maybe raster kind of effects where they make more sense as raster. It's just easier to separate once you get into Photoshop. But otherwise, if it's like big slabs of spot or stuff that not that much registration, not that much intricacy, you can just Illustrator right on through.
Right. And it's it doesn't matter if it's like the number of colors. I mean, I can have 12 colors in the vector file. That's totally fine, as long as they're like basic elements and, you know, solid, you know, even if there's a little bit of blending and I can take a color and like tell it to overprint or something like that.
Sure.
That's pretty much why I stay in an Illustrator or I stay in Photoshop. Depends on what I get.
That makes sense. So when we're getting ready to start a color separation, what is the most important starting point to get a good color separation? I mean, where do you begin, and is there something you can do to prepare for that?
Again, they're kind of treated differently based on what you get, but you prepare your files. Like customers send in tricky PDF files, and I'm sure you've all heard the horror stories about getting you get a JPEG, and then you ask for vector artwork, and you say, "Oh, I can use PDF, EPS, AI," and they send you a PDF file, and it's got a JPEG inside of it. You know,
over and over.
So which question was that?
So what's the starting point of a good color separation? Like that's where we're at.
I guess the file types that you get is the good starting point, but you know what you can.
So if you're assuming Photoshop is, you know, where you're starting here. Yeah. So what, give us and you talked about a lot of these things already in the file size and like,
you said. And generally my go-to is Photoshop. But like I said, a lot of people send in, I can improve things, especially with JPEGs or PNGs, logos and stuff like that, sponsor logos. I jump around so much because there's so many, when you ask one question, there's like eight different ways you can go with that.
Absolutely. Welcome to the club. That's us. That's what we jump
around a lot.
Yeah. So speaking of that, though, I did see a shiny object here I wanted to share with everybody. Terry Saunders from CMO Screen Printing Supply said, "I'm late, but so glad to see Dot Tone Dan on. He's an industry asset." Agreed, Terry. So, Dan, tell us a little bit. Okay, so we're talking a new print shop, maybe, or at least new to simulated process. What do they need to be looking out for when first trying simulated process printing, or even four color process for that matter?
They need to be looking out for pitfalls.
Yes, exactly.
The biggest thing that people misunderstand is they think that simulated process or process printing is going to be just like spot color printing or logo printing. You know, solid areas of coverage. Everything's going to change. You know, your printing technique is going to change. Your screen mesh is going to change. You're going to go higher. It's just like jumping from a manual to an auto. You got to up your mesh a little bit so you can print very similar to how you were doing on the manual. Your squeegee stroke is going to be a little bit faster, maybe a little lighter, closer off contact. You're going to need higher mesh, thinner inks, sometimes translucent inks, depending on what you want to do, but higher tension on your mesh, consistency. You know, before when you're printing spot colors, you know, you could use 15 newtons and another brand new mesh that has 25 or 30 newtons. And you won't see that much of a difference, but in simulated process, it's going to be the world of difference. Your film, positives, if you're printing film still, you didn't have to worry so much, about films being a little bit translucent or being able to see through them. You don't want that. But, you know, a lot of people, when they're printing solid color stuff, they just overexpose a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's no problem. But with halftones, you can't do that. And so you need, it helps greatly to have opaque, very opaque film and a more accurate exposure time. A thinner coat of emulsion on the coat, a more consistent, that's a big one, a more consistent coat, because when you see, if you had variables in your stroke pool when you're coating emulsion, you didn't see that that much on your spot colors. So a lot of the imperfections that you've done in your process over time are going to show up, because now you're transferring minute detail. And so you'll see when you have a little stutter as you pull that that coater up the mesh, and you got a little thicker and thinner waves. You can't have that on simulated process, because you're going to have thin and thick half tones. And the same with your press. You know, if your press is not fine-tuned, it's, you're going to see imperfections, like if your palettes are uneven, or you know, if your press is out of registration, you're going to see that much more. The palettes, when you're if it's uneven, a good telltale sign is when you print a solid, it's a test, you print a solid block of, let's say, 10% halftone tint. And fill the whole imprint area, your maximum imprint area, and you print that on the palette, and you'll definitely see like heavy ink lay down over in one side or the other, and it'll show you where your palettes are uneven.
So really, going from these big slabs of ink to these minute dots, it really is going to change what like size and shape of the dots as it's laying down, just because of that process stuff. So it's like it really is a little less forgiving.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of interesting that simulated process is actually, when you print six or eight colors together and they're all mashing together to create other colors and whatnot, it is a lot more forgiving than a solid spot color, misaligned base white on a, you know, with colors over top that are solid spot colors. And let's say your base is out or something that peeks off to the side, or you're actually, more importantly, your top colors, if they are not in alignment, you won't see that as much in the simulated process, unless you got like trap lines or something like that, where things butt up to each other and there's the hard, sharp definition. But as colors start to blend, it's much more forgiving. It's a look, it looks a little bit blurry, let's say. Things start to mash together. So a lot of people love printing simulated process over spot colors, because, you know, you don't have to worry as much about it.
Is it a little more precise when you're doing four color?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Not, if you get to be much more fine tuned for or four color process, and, your registration has to be dead on to get things more accurate. And yet, let me note, you have to use very fine registration marks. Honest to goodness, I had old film from a shop I was at, and there was old film being used, and the registration marks were like huge, as big as or bigger than the art that I was printing. And, so I put new registration marks on, but some people use registration marks that are so fat, it's like you may as well be trying to like take them off and just line up the artwork with each other. But
there's so much slop in the regi marks that you couldn't get enough precision to get the print to go right. That makes a lot of sense. I'd never thought about that. So hence why your library has multiple things of registration marks in it. I was like, okay, that makes sense now. Even to, you know, me with very little experience.
The purpose of the fine registration mark is when as fine as you can hold. And, you know, if you're off a hair, and literally a hair, and you move it over, you know, everything comes on into your detail is much more finer. and colors are more accurate. But
I don't kind of envy you guys that part of your process. Embroidery is a little more sloppy. Don't get me wrong. We can get a registration, but I don't have to quite get that site, guys.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very so cool.
So Dan, you know, I know you've worked with some pretty technical folks out there, and obviously you do a lot of really technical work throughout your career. I mean, what are you, you know, how do they make the best prints? Is it just, you know, loading the right ink, having the right mesh, and away they go, or is there something more?
I wrote another little piece that I didn't include in here, and it dabbled in. There's different skill sets of printers, and some printers are more, they're very good printers, best in their category, and they are mechanical. Mm-hmm. And then there are printers that are also very good, just the same, but they are more artistic, let's say, for the lack of a better word.
Yeah.
They are more in touch with subtleties and what needs to happen in the print to achieve a certain look. And that's something that I wrote on. And it has to do with, here's the example. I can go into, I send off separations to five different shops, mm-hmm. and you get five different results. And some of them are right what I was expecting, and the others are all different. And, at various levels. And I guess the reason for that is the individual that's printing it is, and how that person is in tune with what, you're looking for. And there's some things in a color print, people use, let's call them press proofs. Sure. And, you know, you get that as big and on a best quality, photo paper that you can get so that you can represent what you're trying to do in that artwork, little blends and subtleties and details and things like that. And color shifts. You know, if you're trying to get a 14 color look out of an 8 color print, you have to do a lot of blending. And then you know, sometimes that doesn't come across as well as the in CMYK color proof printing as you would if you're using actual Pantone colors and mixing those on press. And so the press proof is not going to look as accurate as what you're trying to do and what you see on the monitor on your screen. Mm-hmm. And so you go out there, and if you, the best separations come from artists who work at the shop. And some people get mad at me for saying that. And the reason being is, you know, and I separate for thousands of printers, you know, over the years, and they get great results, but they could be better results if I was there, or if the, you know, and they don't care. They're great with the results they get. And they're doing really well, but there's plenty of times too, when I get customers that call back and say, you know, we did everything you said to do and we just can't get it right. And it doesn't look, you know, like it should.
Yeah.
And I know that if I put it on our press and we printed it, it would, you know, come out how I want, because I'm there and I could, tell them, well, you know, use more pitch on your squeegee and, you know, faster stroke and a little bit less pressure on this color and so on and so on. And and so the printers, no matter how good they are, there are some that will know that. I love my production manager right now, that we work with, Randy Smith. He is he's like in tune with me, you know, we're connected. And, nice. But still there are times when, you know, he goes out, sets it up. He's got the screens. He's got everything that I've told him to do and, puts the right inks in, uses the right meshes. And you can, it's kind of mechanical. You set it up and you just hit print and, whatever the results are, if I'm not there, he might run with it, you know? And that can be okay, but, you know, I guess maybe I'm a perfectionist and anal or something. And
for a color separator, probably a good thing to be.
And so in a production, that's a typical thing that comes with artists too, is we always want more than what we are getting. And a lot of artists, you know, the production people don't want the artist out there because, you know, oh, it's going to be another 15 minutes or 30 minutes or a half hour on tweaking this, you know, and because we kind of know what we intended and it's not happening and we try to get it there. And so, you know, we're not always welcome out in production.
Nice.
So what I can say I can hear from this, though, is something that I say all the time and I get in trouble for it. I use this word far too many times in anything I write. There's a holistic process. You can't just throw any steps at any printer and get the same result. Same thing with us. You can't throw any file at any machine with any garment, get the same result. And the people do have something to do with it, and the setup and tensions, and same thing for you guys. So it's what I love to tell people is, once again, it's not so simple. It's not plug and play. And you can't just blame one chunk of, you know, the production or of the prep when you get a result maybe you're not exactly on with. Yeah. But also the experience on press seems to be really important too. So that's really cool to understand.
So Dan, do you separations though, right? You said you're still doing that. Okay. Yeah. So what, tell us a little bit about what you've got going on right now yourself. You know, we read in your bio, but you're doing separations. What's happening in your world right now?
Well, I got a lot of my time, with this new shop. It's a contract shop that we're also creating our own product line and developing that. And so I'm doing a lot here, and it ties me into the wee hours. And and I'm also doing the separations, and I'm not doing separations as much as I used to. I mean, I still do, you know, one or two a night, I'm also, for years, you know, everybody says, when are you going to do a tutorial? And I've been trying to do tutorials and playing with them here and there. And we have another industry vet that, I've been talking with that, we want to do some things together. And, so my end game is to be able to do separations and more work that I can do one time and it continues to sell. You know, to kind of build a career off of that and evolve from separations to maybe training other people how to do what I do.
Yeah, oh, that's fantastic. We're obviously all about education here. And so as that project comes together, Dan, you need to make sure that we'll break the news here. So how about that?
Yeah, it's coming slow.
Okay.
As it always has. But this year has been I've done the most on it that I have in all my years. So
cool.
Progress.
Well, we're excited about that. Yeah, for sure.
Awesome, man.
For sure.
It's awesome to hear.
All right. So, Dan, how can people find you and get in contact with you? What's the best way to reach you?
Mostly through by email.
Okay.
art@designsby.tone.com. And, you know, I'm not on, you know, I work in the day, so I'm not on Facebook. it seems to be a lot of people are contacting everybody through Facebook these days. And, like, I don't see it for maybe a day or two. And so, email. I'll always see that. I check email at lunch and before work and breaks and in the evenings.
Excellent.
Awesome. Well, man.
Well, it's been great. And you gave us a ton of great stuff too, that, and you're okay with us sharing that with all the listeners. We'll get all that stuff posted up. So hopefully I can get to it this weekend, and we'll have the show notes up and available, plus all of the extra great goodies that Dan gave us. Fantastic. Wonderful. Thanks, Dan. Yeah. Like I said, let us know when you got something. We're happy to share with everybody. This has been a fantastic bit of education today. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for being on, Dan. It's been really awesome.
All right, Eric. Well,
let's go ahead and hear a word from our other sponsor, who we love, Ace Transfer.
Have you been looking to grow your business or start one in the garment decoration industry? After all, that's why you're listening, right? Ace Transfer Company is located in Springfield, Ohio, and we've provided our customers with high-quality transfers, competitive prices, and great customer service for nearly 30 years. Ace Transfer Company offers a wide variety of garment decoration services, including screen-printed transfers, contract screen printing, direct-to-garment or DTG, dye sublimation, signs, banners, heat transfer vinyl, pressure-sensitive vinyl, and more. Use your own designs or have our in-house artists assist you in creating eye-catching transfers. At Ace, we are dedicated to helping your business succeed, so print your vision at Ace. For more information, visit our website, acetransfercompany.com. Send us an email at acetransco@gmail.com. That's acetransco@gmail. Or give us a call at 800-525-3126.
Thanks again to the great friend of the show, David Shaw. It's great meeting him, hanging out with him. And everybody out at Ace Transfer, thank you very much for being our sponsors.
Yes. Excellent. All right, Eric. Well, we've been talking a little bit about something you got going on. So give us the update there. What's happening?
All right. Here's the big update for me. Like Mr. Dotton Dan himself, I have often been tasked with doing some teaching and not always where everybody wants me to be. Everybody knows I go out and teach at the trade shows, at several kind of trade shows, uh-huh. and that uh-huh. there's been a lot of that going on. But finally, with the help of our own Aaron Montgomery, I'm going to be doing a webinar next year and taking one of my most popular classes from the floor of the trade shows online. So that's Demystifying Digitizing, and it's coming March 28th, 2020. And my tagline for this, you're going to have better running, bolder, more beautiful embroidery with a faster cycle from concept to completion. That is the nice. Whole idea here. Getting more dimension, making your embroidery look better, and being faster at going from the idea to the first sample, to the testing, to the last sample. And we now have a link for the initial sign up. Right now, all you're doing is signing up for a email list. Eventually, you'll be getting some bonus content. You'll be getting some other contact from me and deals on signing up for this webinar. So it is in the books. It's coming March 28th. Finally, everybody who said, I need online classes because I can't get where you are. March 28th, 2020, you'll be getting a full seminar just like the ones that I do at the trade shows. So you guys can thank Aaron, because if Aaron did not push me to do this, I probably wouldn't have done it this quickly. He literally said, and I quote, this is like Terry, who always says, see Aaron, I'm getting better at my trade show dates. They're all up there on the tour dates. No, same thing. If Aaron hadn't said, okay, man, what do you want to do in 6 months? I was like, well, I really should be teaching online classes. Like, here's the date, man.
And I'm like, okay, 6 months from now is
March from the date.
28th. I'm writing this down. And Eric, you could just see your face just went white.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, nope, no, we're doing this.
Completely
dude.
Drained of color. I turned white every time I say the date. But guys, honestly, I'm actually pretty excited about this, because sometimes we teach a really great class, and trade shows, they really love to have brand new content every season, which I like doing. I really love writing absolutely. New stuff every time. But every once in a while, you have one of those kind of, you catch lightning in a bottle, and people really love it, and people talk about missing it. And the Demystifying Digitizing course, that seminar was really awesome. People loved it, and I haven't been able to teach from that course since. And everybody has asked who has seen it or heard about it, hey, are you going to teach that one again? This is the first time I'm taking something kind of out of the, you know, out of the stacks, out of the collection, out of the archive, and teaching it again. And it's one of the ones that I really wanted to get out there. So can't wait to do this. And so sign up, you'll get some extra stuff, ebook, and we'll be doing it in March, folks.
Yeah. And we'll be having some things kind of leading up to that live. I'm really excited. You know, so the thing that I love about Eric is that, you know, you're going to get this webinar and this content, but Eric's got so much other stuff. I mean, some of the free webinar content, I'm like, dude, that's an ebook that people sell, you know, kind of thing. So I'm really excited about this and hear all that too. So
hey, we give value. That's what we're
that's
here
right.
to do.
That's right. It's going to be valuable. What else, Eric? You got anything else happening that we need to share?
Yeah, I will go ahead and do one quick shout out and say I'd love for people to take out my latest article on getting more production from your embroidery equipment without just adding more heads. And that's out at Printware. And also, we hear one that I will put a link in for later. I don't have it in the show notes. Getting a lot of feedback from what I've done in Images Magazine in the UK. I just did a piece on storing your thread and curating your thread collection. Something that's, believe it or not, contentious in the embroidery world is, do you do the pegboard? Do you put it up on boxes? Does it go in shelves? Yeah. And I actually have some thoughts about that people are having some discussions about. So get out to Images Magazine UK, and honestly, if you search my name with the funny little H on the Eric, you usually get all this stuff anyway, but I'll put up links in the comments later.
I almost went to something that I promised I wouldn't do anymore. All right.
I know. Just say E-Rich. Say it already. Terry hasn't done it for a while. All right.
E-Rich, his rapper name. All right. Good.
All right.
Good. Got that on my system. So Terry's got a few things coming up here that I wanted to share. December 12th to the 13th, he'll be one of the speakers at the Equipment Zone DTG Academy in Phoenix, Arizona. He said here in, but I'm in St. Louis, so I skipped that part. You can get details at equipmentzone.com. And his upcoming complete screen printing business courses. He's already getting things going for 2020. Looks like Atlas Screen Supply in Nashville will be happening February 15th through the 16th. He said switched recently with the Chicago location in May. And then he will be at Workhorse Products with that same complete screen printing business course happening February 29th through March 1st. And let's see here. January 16th, his travel's already spoken up for next year. January 16th, Terry will be presenting 10 things you need to know about DTG printing the day before the Impressions Expo Long Beach starts. And that's at 1 p.m. there in Long Beach. And then a couple of days later, January 18th, he will be in Long Beach still on the show floor presenting I'm a New Screen Printer, Now What?, which is a free event, free 45-minute event. So get there early, as he will be doing his introductions beforehand just to get through. And then he will also be out at DAX Kansas City with us presenting on being a great screen printer on Saturday, February 22nd. And you can find all of his upcoming classes at terrycombs.com under the tab tour dates. And then, yes, as you mentioned, he has been doing a great job of keeping that up to date. So there we go. As far as myself, tomorrow morning, Small Business Saturdays is happening at 7 a.m. And I'm going to be joined by Todd Downing, and we're going to be talking about our success group. Another project that I've got going on. So good stuff. Awesome. We're excited.
By the way, I got to tell everybody a lot of buzz going on, and they are seeking all these great feedback from people in that group. Cannot wait to see what's coming from Aaron and Todd. The attitude's awesome. The energy's awesome. And they really are aiming for a market of people who needs to be served and doesn't always get served. So if you're out there, check that out.
Yep. Definitely. So, and then real quick, comment here that I didn't want to miss. Christine said that should be a series. I'm a new quote, enter your decoration method of choice here. Now what? Those would be great webinars. So Terry, you're on notice.
Also decorators community now that I'm like, okay, we could do that.
Yeah, totally.
Once we get this webinar thing sorted out, folks, you may see more.
And then Terry says, Eric, we need to get that clock for Aaron that we talked about. Yes. Bonus time today, folks.
Bonus time, folks.
And then the other couple things that I've got coming up here, I'm going to be in, this is a new show for me. I've not been to this one before, but I've been asked to speak at the 2020 International Awards and Personalization Expo being held out in Las Vegas, Nevada in February 18th. And the first one's actually, the first one, it will be on the 18th, is Social Media 101, Why and How. And then later on in the afternoon at 4:30, I'll be talking digital marketing, growing your business with email marketing. And then the next day, I will be on the sublimation panel that they're having there at 6 p.m. there at the International Awards and Personalization Expo. I think it's at the Paris Hotel, if I remember right. At least that's where all you will be staying. So looking forward to that. And then like Eric and Terry, DAX Kansas City will be happening. Yeah. I'm actually really excited about this. My wife is not so excited. She actually says she's nauseous, but I have talked her into presenting a webinar with me, and she is fantastic, but she doesn't always enjoy the public speaking thing. So starting an e-commerce business, what works and what didn't, and she has been diligently working on her business, WeHeart.biz, and so learned a lot of things along the way, and it's going to be great. And the decorators community will be booth there. Nice. And we're going to be hosting a couple of panels on the show floor. And we're just going to be all parts of DAX. We love the DAX shows, you know, Impressions, DAX, NBM. We've got great shows in our industry, but being here in the Midwest, the DAX ones are good for me. So,
And honestly, I tell you folks, if you ever like the things that we talk about with education, get up to DAX because we all teach there. I've got a long workshop session and a small session for embroiderers. And my thing now is going to be, if you want to get into digitizing, it's a 101. I've always been doing kind of extreme, either, you know, more detailed courses. I actually have a very 101, if you just want to get into it, course coming up. And the stuff, I can't tell you, like, getting to actually see Aaron and Terry teach is cool too. Cause I don't always get to, we're often overlapped, but sometimes at DAX, I get to catch a little bit of them out there. You guys got to get out there. It's awesome. If you like this, if you like what we do here, imagine that with more of that valuable information just coming at you full force. It's a great time.
Nice. All right, Eric. Well, we've gone well into bonus time, so let's go ahead and wrap it up here. So we come to the close of another show. Every week we're here, guys, and it's been a blast. Tons of great information from Dan today, so that's why we wanted to get to bonus time. I mean, I think we just barely got less than 0.001% of the knowledge that he has, but that is a fantastic amount of knowledge from Dan. So thank you very much, Dan, and make sure to check him out at the email address that we listed in there. So thanks, Dan.
Absolutely. And thank you again also to our sponsors, Impressions Expo, Printavo, and Ace Transfer Company.
Yeah, definitely. And we appreciate all of their support. Next week, we will be off for the Thanksgiving weekend here in the United States. So no show next week. I may actually, we'll see if I can get it to get the folks to edit it in time. We may actually just post a podcast, some of the extra content we had from Fort Worth, but I'm not sure if we'll get that in time, but that will be coming up here soon. So we may put it there in that week anyways. Mm-hmm. But then the following Friday, the December 6th, right after that, we're back for our, next Women in the Industry podcast. Sorry.
Yeah.
Totally lost my train of thought there. Christine Shreve will be, as usual, emceeing that.
Excellent job, great guests.
And the topic established is safety in the workplace, personal safety, and kind of how that goes. So we're going to have some great guests joining her, and we're looking forward to that coming up on December 6th.
Always fantastic. And also, by the way, just to give you one more reminder, guys, Reggie's voting is open. Get out there, check it out. If you're not promoting, guys who are on the list, go out there and promote, because somebody is. Lots of people are.
Yeah.
But that's also going on throughout there, since we won't get to remind you. Get out there and do it while we're out.
Yeah.
Because right after the 12th, ends on the 12th, and on the 13th, that's when we announce. And that's one of those really awesome shows. But yeah,
cool.
Get out there and vote. And until then, over this long weekend, and we will definitely miss you guys, but over the long weekend, until then, this is me, Eric Campbell, sitting in for Terry Combs. He's Aaron Montgomery.
And we are the Two Regular Guys.
Thank you for listening to Two Regular Guys. Check out our website at tworegularguys.com. That's the number 2regularguys.com. You can also interact with us over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/tworegularguys, or send us a tweet, twitter.com/tworegularguys. And we have a YouTube page. You can find all that from our website, tworegularguys.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to spending some time with you again next week.